Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Yes, Father, we come before you this morning, seeing our need, feeling our need, and Lord, as we just want to expound on a few of the words here and the meditations to draw our hearts together, to acknowledge who you are and why we need you. Lord, we just ask for a calmness of our hearts and our spirit. Just guide our tongue. Give us wisdom. Give us power. Fill us with your Holy Ghost, Lord. And Father, we acknowledge that those are gifts each one of us that is born of the Spirit have. Help us to realize what we can have within us, not that we boast ourselves, but Lord, it's what you died for, that you want to bring us back to fellowship with you, and that we can be one with you, and that we can be an instrument for your kingdom and a witness and testimony for you. Father, we just ask you, be with us, guide us, give us ears to hear, Lord, and a heart to receive. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I guess a few of them things that have been on my heart is what Alan put on the board. In the past, it's kind of been a burden on my heart. Where am I? Why do I not experience the power? Why do I not experience the faith? Do I feel filled with the Holy Ghost? What was revealed to me, I guess, from the Lord is, how much value do I put on it? It's there. If we put a little value on it, we're going to get a little bit. The more value we put on it, has been my experience and my understanding, the more we're going to get out of it. Because we're going to put more into it. And we're going to see it. I'm not sure how all that applies to what Alan was saying, but that's been my experience. Well, we're going through the Proverbs here, and we're in chapter 30. And we'll be at verse 29 through 33. And we'll just read them here. There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely and going. A lion, which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any. A greyhound and a he-goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thy hand upon thy mouth. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. You know, as we've went through a lot of the Proverbs here, seems like there's a lot of analogy between opposites and what Edgar here is bringing out a lot in his writing is that he brings a lot of animals out. Seems like we're kind of removed from a lot of this, paying attention to maybe some of these creatures, maybe some of the animals, because of our culture. And we miss some of the meaning and some of the lessons, we would say, that are in these creatures. And I think it's good going through this. It just really brings out a digging and investigating of some of these things. And a lot of God's nature way, the animals don't seem to have their free will to go against what God has put into them from creation all the way up to today. You know, as we heard about, some of us heard about the bee yesterday and the things. And something he pointed out is like, well, it's, you know, it's just the bee's instinct. He said, no, it's not. It's God created that. It's God the glory, not the bee. And I thought that was a good little point to add in the Proverbs here. It's not these animals. It's not these creatures. It's God did that. God put that in them. And, well, anyhow, seems like verse 29, 30, and 31 here seem to kind of have a little bit there, and then it changes from there on. But a calmly, in 29, Sarah, in a calmly in his going, and what he's saying there is these things are steady. They're qualified for this. And things are going to go well. A lion is the strongest among the beasts he's bringing out. He has courage. His confidence. And he will not turn away from the challenges that are before him. They're very aggressive in the right way. And we as Christians need to be strong. We have the power. We have the Holy Ghost. God is behind us. God is for us. Who can be against us? Those things are there. And I think what he's bringing out here is we need to be mindful that we need to be strong. Take courage. As it brings out there in Philippians. Be of good courage. Be strong. Be willing to confront the battles, the enemy before us. It's not by our own strength. We know that. But the power within us, yeah, we may be overtaken, as you brought up this morning. But it goes on with a greyhound. A greyhound is just simply a dog. Not real familiar with it. I'm not sure if it's the same animal as a Great Dane or not. I don't know what the comparison is on that. But anyhow, kind of the characteristics of a greyhound is they love to chase. They love to pursue after things. They're known for their long endurance, for a long run, for when they thrive on pursuing. On that. And I don't know if that's where the Greyhound bus name comes from or not, but you see that a lot of buses have the Greyhound on them. And must be where the name come from is they're for a long run. They can endure for a long time. Are we able? Are we committed to endure for the long run? The road's going to be rough. There are going to be challenges. We're going to feel defeated. Are we willing to continue on? Do we have that courage to continue on? I think that's what's coming out here, what he's trying to give encouragement here. A he-goat also. A he-goat is just a male goat. There, I'm not sure if all of them would be. You have a mountain goat, you have a different types of goat. I believe the goat that he would be referring to here would be the ones that would be out in the with the sheep. They would use them for milk, use them for the different things. But the one thing on a goat there is, it's one of the very few animals, I'm not sure if it's the only one or not, but they can live almost in any environment. And they can live in what we would classify as a very scrubby climate. If the Bedouins lived out in the desert and just migrated around, they used a lot of goats. I think more than they would a sheep. But the goats could handle just eating about anything that would grow. You know, I think some of us know that if you got a pasture, they just eat all the stuff that other animals don't eat. But one thing, they're known for their ability to roam around amongst rough ground, and some of the goats can just, they can climb and walk across some of the roughest terrain of mountains. And they're known for their stability and their footing. Very rarely a goat, especially a mountain goat, will lose its footing and fall. You know, I think we've all kind of seen pictures of a goat on a little ledge, and they'll just jump around on the mountains. And we have a solid foundation. We need to stay on that foundation. And not be shaken with fear because of circumstances we find ourselves in at times in places. Then a king against whom there is no rising up. Seems like in the Old Testament within, you didn't see, there was some rising up against a king. But that when there was rising up against a king, you were pretty quickly defeated unless you had a large army. But there was not a rebellion against the kings that lasted, that they would exist. And then even up in the modern day, there's a lot of that today too. It seems like in our country today, we're not under a king, but it just seems like there's an attitude very strong of lack of respect toward the authority, government. Not that we say we agree with it or anything like that, but we can disagree but still respect who we're under authority to. And are we resisting any respect and honor and obedience to our heavenly King? It's something that we really need to look at. It's something that I've kind of provoked me on as a thought come to me is, am I honoring and respecting Christ as if He would be living in my home, walking with me in my daily work? Do I honor Him? Or do I shun back at times? Verses 32 and 33 seem to change gear here a little bit. I think it's still in response to the whole chapter there, as you know, he's going through a whole dialogue of things here. It says, if thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, I would take that as pride. We can do it by a lot of things we say. They can just come out in just how we say things. We can just have this lifting up ourselves. It's human nature for me to want to do that. We can easily do that. But he says, if thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, just thought evil. Not that we say it, but just thought it. Lay thy hand upon thy mouth. And you go back to a couple places in the Old Testament. I believe Job makes that statement. That to just stop. Stop what you said. Repent. Repent of that. And have a shameful appearance. Show shamefulness of it. Show your repentance of it. And that's humbling to confess that, you know, I shouldn't have said that. That was wrong. I'd said something to you, or I'd said something and that was very disrespectful. Just whatever the kid's situation was, it's not to just acknowledge within ourselves. But I think this is calling. It seems like a New Testament calling here is doesn't really say that, but I kind of looked that up and. That's what it's saying is to show your repentance. It brings out examples of putting ashes on him, putting sackcloth on and ashes. That's an outward showing of a repentance, of shamefulness. We don't see that in our culture today, but we can surely verbalize it and express our shamefulness in that. Surely a churning of milk bringeth forth butter. I think pretty much everybody back then understood the churning of milk. The result of that is it's just going to get butter. They were very familiar with that. This, you do this, and this is what you're going to get. He's comparing that with the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. We're not familiar with terminology like that, but if somebody gets hit or their nose gets hit hard or something, it's going to start bleeding. With those two things, we know what's going to happen. And then it goes on to say, so the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. The forcing of wrath. What's he saying there? We can go a lot of different ways on that, but the wrath is causing someone else, the forcing there, I think, of wrath, is causing someone else to be contentious, to stir up an attitude in somebody else to where they are wanting to be aggravated, contentious, bringing a strife. And I couldn't help but go to the Sermon on the Mount there. And thinking about that there, in part of that, seems like we can find in a portion of that here, we can find some of the heart there in some of those verses in Proverbs of what he's saying here. I'll just read through a little bit of chapter 5 here, breaking in on 38, verse 38. Ye have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil. If we're to resist evil, that pretty much takes care of provoking somebody to wrath. Whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man sue thee at law and take away thy coat, give him thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. I'll go on here. Ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despiteful are. They use you and persecute you. Some of these things here, you know, we're all very familiar with. We understand them. But do we really come down and feel the heart of Christ, what he's trying to say? Because if our heart is not right, if we don't have the right heart that Christ wants us to have, we're going to allow the hatred to rise up, and then we're going to start struggling with the hatred. And then we have to overcome that. But Christ is calling us to a higher level that we should automatically be of the Spirit to default to when these situations come, that we can just default them automatically right now. Not that it's always going to be automatic, but we can default to right away that I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to allow this. I'm just going to show him love. And that takes power. That takes this power. Not of the flesh. That's what he's calling us to. And it seems like that last verse there in Proverbs, it seems like he got that picture. Seems like he's seen that. But the power of the Holy Spirit wasn't there then. It's like he's seen the wisdom of not rebellion, of not resisting. And that's what Christ is calling us here to. Back up earlier, it says that you resist not evil. Little note I'd written down, it seemed like I'd kind of carried it on from the past, kind of comes out of some of this. I think I might be in Luke there a little more clear, but it's kind of a question I have is, how many of us would say we hate somebody? I don't think any one of us would just really say I hate somebody. How many of us would hold good from one of our enemies? It says to bless them that persecute you, do good to them that hate you. There's where I'm challenged. There's the higher calling that Christ has called us to. If we have that mindset, if we are striving for those things, the heart of the issue, dealing with hating somebody becomes easier. In that. And we step through, growing through these things. I might just finish off here the rest of that. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. I think Alan pretty well given a very well example of Eliot that had that passion. That ye may be children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and shineth on the rain, and sendeth rain upon the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Those are challenging. It's easy to love the people that love us. But it goes on. And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do even the publicans. And I think, if I remember right, some of the salute there is not what we would classify as a greeting, but just an acknowledgement of people. It's not the attitude that, the proud attitude that, I don't need to speak to all the other people. We'll just speak to the Christian people, and that's all we're going to speak to. Seemed like there was an attitude among the Pharisees, I believe, that if you were a Sadducee or if you were just a cultural person, you never really got an acknowledgement from them. It's like they would walk the streets and wouldn't give any acknowledgement to you there. Seems like our culture is kind of coming to that with the busyness in some of the other cultures. Is everybody speaks to everybody down the streets as they go. It would be a little foreign to us, but I think we need to be careful that we don't somewhat fall into this too. Not by willingness, but just by default of our culture. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father is perfect, which is in heaven. I think we can strive for that. We need to strive for that. I kind of thought also here, a little bit in Galatians 5. Kind of went along with that. I don't know if I'm getting a little bit off the subject there or not, but I think these verses here go right along with Matthew 5 there. In Galatians 5, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: And he brings these out: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Boy, they sound pretty bad. Hatred. Well, let's see. Hatred. How much hatred? A little bit? Variance, emulations, wrath, strife. Strife. What is strife? It's resisting. Seditions, heresies. Some of these sound pretty bad. Envious, murders, drunkenness, ravelings, and such like. I think we could add a few more in there. I tell you before that, as I have told you in time past, that ye which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, I don't do some of the harsh things. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. And I was blessed yesterday. Whoever was there yesterday, I think, was blessed with the message on joy. Long-suffering, peace, gentleness, goodness. What's goodness? What is goodness? I think it falls right back into the Matthew 5 there. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's a strong statement there. If we're going to live in the flesh, let us walk in the flesh. And if we have the Spirit within us, myself, me, I'm the only one that is hindering the Spirit to work and manifest itself in me. Lord bless you.